enjoyed the family this morning. We'll hear them tonight. They'll sing two or three, four, whatever they want to sing. And then Brother Jason will go right into preaching. Good preacher, straight shooter, a good family. They are what you see. I've been around them. I know they're not flusy. They're down home. They're real good folks. I appreciate them and count him a good friend. And so we'll gladly hear them.
two more songs, and this one's entitled When Faith Steps In. And then the last song they're going to sing is the title song of our new CD, I'll Stay True. And that's the one Pastor Tom McMurtry wrote and gave to us. He's pastor of Lighthouse Baptist in LaSalle, Peru, Illinois. Good friend of ours, so listen to these two.
To heaven, into the arms of God. fast and her simple way of life. It seems they're almost sad, and they miss the life they had. In your heart you think they'd go back again. But oh, please listen to this truth. Remember God while in your youth. Before
open your Bibles tonight, Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua 24. Thank you again for allowing us to be here. We sure enjoyed it. We've enjoyed being here, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And appreciate all those that have bought CDs. And a lot of people have liked the CD, I'm a Soldier. And it's hard to beat that CD. And so I cannot tell you that this other CD is better. But I can tell you you'll like it. Amen? And it's probably the CD, I'm a Soldier, is probably more upbeat. And kids were, of course, a couple years younger. And this last CD is probably more of a serious, deals more with the heart. Amen? And songs like those that you just heard, which is very helpful, I believe. And you say, well, you know what? Not a lot of help for me right now. It might be one day. And you just never know what we might go through. And the next thing you know, you'll be driving down the road and that thing will hit you like a ton of bricks. Amen. Tears will start flowing. You'll start shouting, thanking God for it. And so we can't always be on the mountaintop, but boy, we like to be there, don't we? I know I like to be there. I don't like being down on the side of the hill or valley and trouble and all kinds of mess. Praise the Lord. I like shouting victory and being on the high side. Wish we could stay there all the time. But life is life. Amen. And there's a real devil also who's always trying to defeat and destroy. And let me be honest with you. He can't stand me and I can't stand him. Amen. And hear me now. Pray for us. I would appreciate it. I don't mean this in a proudful way, by no means at all. But he hates me and he would love to see my family destroyed. And he'd love to see me off the road. And he has wreaked havoc on my family in the area of breakdowns and things like that. I'm not complaining. But I'll tell you what, you can get a lot of stuff on you. It just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. But then you get tired of it. You know what I mean? And then next thing you know, if you ain't careful, you throw your hands up in the air and say, hey, I'm sick of this. I'm done with this. You say, oh, come on. Hey, there's a lot of people much better than me and much better than others that have done that. And, you know, they go through the trouble and trouble and trouble. And don't feel sorry for us. We're happy serving the Lord. Amen. I have no sad, solemn stories to tell you, but I will say pray for us. And there's a few things that our family desperately needs right now.
And I don't want to bore you with things, but we have we need another vehicle. That one we got now is pretty old. It's got 300 and something thousand miles on. I think it breaks down more than it runs sometimes. And hallelujah. I'm going to Milton, Florida, Lord willing, heading that way tomorrow. Pray for us, if you think about us, that thing will keep running. Amen. When it's running, it's good, as long as you don't shut it off. You shut it off, you're going to sit for a while. I don't know. Some vehicles don't crank when it's cold. Mine don't crank when it's hot. Explain that one, amen. I don't know. But I think I know what it is. We'll get it fixed when we get to Milton. And it's been crazy. So we there's some things we need. I appreciate you praying God to answer some real prayer requests. We have a travel trailer that's, how old's that thing? Mark 17, right? It's almost 18 years, 17 years. There ain't a person in America that's drug a travel trailer down the road for 17 years, but we have. Amen. And it's almost as old as Noah's Ark. I mean, it looks that bad. I can tell you that right now. It probably smells as bad as that thing does right now, too. But, no, we have a lot of fun with that. But we've been running that travel trailer. It's in Milton, Florida right now. We don't know what it, but we hope everything's okay when we get there so we can stay in it. But it leaks. It does all kinds of stuff. And we just praise the Lord that we get to serve Him. And there's some things we're praying for. Pray that God answer them great prayer requests. Amen. It's beyond us. We can't do it. And, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And I'm asking for things that I may serve Him with. Amen. And it's not for my own glory, and it's not that we may have it easy, but it would help us, and it would be a little easier, amen, if things were different. But we are thankful, so thankful, that we get to serve the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, church, very grateful that we get to come here. And, you know, I remember, I told my wife today, I said, you know, I remember when I was younger in the ministry, I used to think, man, sure it would be nice if I go preach a place like that. Now, the Lord lets me preach in places like this every now and then, and I think to myself, I shouldn't be preaching there. I don't deserve to get to preach here, you know. And we're very, very grateful, very thankful that we get to be in a place like this. And we're thankful for your preacher and his wonderful, fine family. And we thank God for him. He's highly respected amongst our family and many men of God around the country. And we're thankful for a good church like this that loves the Lord. Amen. Serves God. I love to see a church separated, worshiping God. I love to come to a place where we feel the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And that doesn't mean Satan won't fight us. It doesn't mean he won't fight in the music. He won't fight maybe in the spirit and things tearing up, breaking down, and maybe fight, struggling sometimes preaching. But we know when God's around. Amen. And we've been to some places where there wasn't nobody. It seemed like God wasn't nowhere around. We went to a church not long ago, and I'm not down in this church at all. But boy, it was tough. It was a fight. We'll go wherever God opens the door for us to go. We ain't too high or too big to go anywhere. We went to a church one time, and not long ago, actually back in November, and I had no idea who was all going to be there. I knew it was a smaller church, and I felt so bad for the preacher. And after it was all over with, I showed up. We got there, we were setting up, and there wasn't nobody around. There was a few people down in the basement. And I thought, my Lord, where in the world, where's everybody at? And I didn't do Sunday school. Preacher, we actually was running late because it was a big snowstorm and we just put us way behind. So he said, set up during Sunday school. I'll take Sarah's Sunday school. Don't worry about it. So anyways, they were doing Sunday school. Come time for church. I thought, where's everybody at? 10 people. 10 people. This church could seat 80 people easy. 10 people. That man of God had been preaching, staying in that church for years upon years upon years. I felt so bad for that man. And he'd been so faithful. And I thank God for faithful men like that. But then I thought about how many people could be there to help that man of God and help that church grow. And you know, it's not like this everywhere. This is a blessing. It really is. What a wonderful place to have your family. What a wonderful place, amen, to have a church behind you, amen, to have families in here that love one another. You say, well, preacher, you don't know about this. It doesn't matter if I know about this or that. Everywhere has problems. Everybody has difficulties, amen. But thank God for a place that preaches the Bible, amen, where you can help each other out, strengthen each other. Thank God for it, amen. I've said enough. All right, Joshua 24 tonight. Joshua 24, and we appreciate Covetous prayers. Thank you for your kindness, all the meals and the place to stay. It's been such a blessing. The fruit basket and the kids, all that they tore. pour into it, amen. And just the motel's trash. There's food everywhere and paper everywhere. And oh, but no, I'm just kidding. We've had a good time. We sure thank the Lord for the good rest. Joshua 24, verse number 1. The Bible said, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for all the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, for the officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. In old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came under the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. Had sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given to you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the great privilege and honor to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray for the help of the Holy Ghost of God in preaching. I am but a man, Lord, needing your power, needing your strength. And God, may the Word of God, may the words that you speak, Lord, through me, be a help and a blessing and a strength, God, to your people and your families. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Or we could say, what kind of home do you want to have? I see here tonight, I'm preaching on the house of Joshua. The Bible said down there in verse number 14, it said, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, the cry has been made down through the ages, serve the Lord. In other words, here's what Joshua was saying to the children of Israel. He's saying, anything that is hindering you from serving the Lord, get rid of it. That's pretty much what he's saying. I mean, he's giving them a charge. You realize Joshua here is probably not very long. He's about to die. He's about to pass off the scene. I mean, he's going through a little history, if you would, of how God has blessed the children of Israel. And he tells them this. He says, hey, put away the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. In other words, that stuff you brought over here with you, hey, it's time to get rid of it. It's time to get it out of your life. The Bible said in verse 15, he says, serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, he's saying this, church, he's saying either you're going to serve the gods of the world, or this world, or you're going to serve the God of heaven. And he's telling them, you have got to make a choice. By the way, you will make a choice either way. The Bible teaches us in verse 15, he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In verse 17, we didn't read it, but the Bible said, "For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Here's what Joshua was saying to him. He's saying, "Hey, God's the one that has blessed us, children of Israel. God's the one that has saved us. God's the one that has given us everything we have. So why not serve Him?" Joshua begins to counsel Israel and review their history. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And then he tells them, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And after that, he reminds them of where they come from. And he gave them that history down in verses 2 through 13. And I say to you, church, it would be good for us as Christians and Americans, if we would, to remember every now and then what God has done for us and where God has brought us from. Can I say to you, thing, that one of the big mistakes and one of the big problems that we have in this country is Americans have forgotten where it came from. Amen? They have forgotten the history, if you would. We got people today in Congress, people in the Senate, people in, that are so-called leaders of our land, if you would, that are tearing apart the very fabric of this country. And they're trying their best to destroy history, if you would, and anything that has to do with God, so that they can go about their agenda and making it a socialistic country. But can I say to you, friend, that's not how we started. The Pilgrim Fathers left England first for Holland, then for America. And they left for freedom to worship God. But freedom to have a day of rest and worship was the chief motive of their migration. King James had decreed that Sunday was a day for sports, and he issued what he called his sports book. But the Pilgrim Fathers desired to build their families and their civilization upon another basis. So therefore they came to America. From the very beginning in all the colonies, observation of the Lord's Day was part of the law of the land. There is no doubt that their observance of this day made a mighty contribution to the moral stamina and spiritual well-being of the nation, as well as to its material and economic prosperity. The Lord's Day gave the people a chance to know the Bible, the fountain whence have flowed the noblest streams of influence in religion, education, politics of this nation. Can I say to you that the life that America lives today is the life that Britain wanted to live a few hundred years ago, and our founding father said, "We don't want anything to do with it." America is known for their money. They're known for their sports. They're known for their pleasure. But the American fathers cared nothing about those things. They cared more for God and the spiritual life of their families. Can I say to you, friend, in colonial America, there were three different types of schools. There was public schools in the New England, church schools in the Middle Colonies, and private schools among the plantation owners of the South. And all of these schools, the Bible, can you believe that? The Bible, or else the New England primer, which is based on the Bible, was the book, stay with me now, was the book out of which everybody learned to read for nearly a century. All the intelligent people back then became familiar with the great scriptural truth about the sacredness of the individual in the sight of God. Instilled in the minds of those who framed our Constitution was the idea that no one had the right to become a dictator, because liberty was the inalienable rights which came from the Creator. Thus, the back of our democracy is the Bible. Now, can I say to you, friend, whether anybody knows about it or not, and I know that many of you do know about it, and though the world will try to tell you it's a lie, and though America, even the government, and those will try to tear apart and say, "No, that's not what happened," then I say to you, friend, that is exactly what happened. And that's the reason God blessed this country, because there were families back then, like the house of Joshua, that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I ask the question, whatever happened to the mamas and daddies? And the grandmas and the grandparents that stood up for what was right, had a desire to raise their families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Today we have families that do not want to separate themselves from the gods of this world and turn their heart over to God, who has blessed this great nation and our families in a marvelous way. And I say to you, friend, our families and our homes and this nation is in trouble. We need revival like we've never needed it before. There was a day whenever people would see other families and they didn't think nothing about it, that they looked like Christians. They went to places that Christians went to. They served God like Christians. There was a day when they didn't think anything about it. I mean, there was a lot of people that did that. But today, my family can walk into a restaurant and they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. They can't believe the girls look like ladies. They can't believe the men carry themselves, the boys carry themselves like young men. And we sit at the table and we eat and we pray and we eat and we don't trash the place and scream and holler and throw food and cuss. And everybody looking at a phone and everybody actually sitting there talking, smiling, enjoying the things. And they look at you like you're crazy. There are millions. I don't even know how many. Last time I heard, 35, 40 million step-parents in this country. That's unfathomable. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands. Are you hearing me? Hundreds of thousands of half-orphans in this country. We're talking 800, 900, maybe close to a million. You say, what do you mean by half-orphans? They don't even know who their daddy is. Mom and daddy's divorced, daddy left, or mama left. Say, what's happening, preacher? What do we do? Well, I think we all do what Joshua did. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Say, preacher, you think maybe we can change that? Well, we can start right here. You see, I wonder what would be said about you. I wonder what you'd say about your house. I wonder, friend, if you'd be one like Joshua and said, that's it, that's right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There was a day when mamas and daddies stood up for what was right. And mamas and daddies, I'm not trying to be rude or mean, but mamas and daddies said, we ain't living that way. They stood for what was right. I want to give you some points and I'll be done. Number one, here's what Joshua did. Number one, Joshua made a declaration. Joshua said this. He said, but as for me and my house. That's a declaration. You know what a declaration is? It is an expression of facts, opinions, promises, or predictions, and is in writings, records, or reports of what has been declared or uttered. In other words, it was Joshua's opinion, it was his fact, it was his promise, it was in his writings that his house is going to serve the Lord. One of the greatest statements that Joshua ever made was when he made that statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I say to you, church, that Joshua's declaration was a public declaration. It was a pronounced declaration. It was a proven declaration, a personal declaration, a parental declaration. It was a persuasive declaration. Now hear me. It wasn't some head hanging, whispering, ashamed over there in the corner declaring that his family was going to serve the Lord. No, sir. He stood up in front of all of Israel. He stood up in front of everybody and said, hey! As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He wasn't worried about what anybody said about him. You understand? Listen to me. I say to you, friend, God, give us some mamas and daddies again that will declare that their family is going to serve the Lord. Now listen, I feel like some of you might be dodging me right now. That means this father. That means this mama. When you make a direct declaration, that means you throw sin out of your home. That means that you'll lead your family in prayer. That means you read your family the Bible. That means that, friend, you'll bring your family to church every time the doors are open. That means you'll raise your children to serve God. That means that you'll say that music's not right, that clothing's not right, that attitude's not right. That means that you will declare that your family's going to throw the gods of this world out of your house and serve the Lord. He made a declaration. He said, my house. Winston Churchill said this. He said, there is no doubt that it is around the family and the home that all the greatest virtues, the most dominating virtues of human society, are created, strengthened, and maintained. Can I say to you, friend, if mama and daddy has no virtue, then the family will have no virtue. In other words, let me say it to you this way. If daddy, you smoke, they'll smoke. Mom and daddy, you cuss, they'll cuss. You flirt, they'll flirt. You skip church, they'll do the same thing. You live a loose life, they'll live a loose life. You look at pornography, they'll look at it. You gamble, they'll gamble. You drink, they'll drink. You don't serve God, they won't serve God. If carnality, friend, is not a big deal to you, it won't be a big deal to your children either. And the reason is because you never made a declaration. The Bible says in Genesis 18:19, God speaking about Abraham, He said this, He said, "For I know him," are you hearing me? God said this about Abraham, He said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Can I say, church, God was not worried about Abraham raising his family for God. God wasn't worried about his children serving him either. What would be said of you? Just think about it. What would God say about you? Would God say, "I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about her, for I know they'll serve me. I'm not worried about him. I know that they'll command their children and their household after them." Joshua didn't say this. Joshua didn't say, "I'm going to serve the Lord. Y'all do whatever you want to do." No, he said, "As for me and my house." I don't know who was all in that house. I don't know how many youngins he had. I don't know, friend, how many people was in that house. But whenever he stood up and said that before all, can I say to you, all his house heard that? And they knew that Daddy meant what he said. Joshua made a declaration. Let me give you the second one. Joshua had determination. Here's where a lot of us fail. There's a lot of people that say, "Yeah, I'm going to raise my family for God. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not allow this to come into my life or come into my home. I'm not going to allow this here and there." And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, they get a little kids, get a little bit older, and the fight gets a little bit harder. And it seems like that determination they had begins to wear down and dwindle down, and they start losing their determination, if you would. But Joshua said this. He said, "As for me and my house," and then there's two words. He said, "We will." That's determination. Children of Israel, in name only, were worshipers of God. Yet they still had some of their false images and gods with them that they brought out of Egypt. And Joshua did not like their double-mindedness. Please stay with me. And God said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways," in James 1:8. And the Bible, so Joshua pushes the people to make a decision. He pushes them to make a decision. Amen. That's what preaching does. And he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You know what the Bible said in 2 Kings 18:21? Elijah said this. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Joshua and Elijah are demanding for a decision with determination, and rightly so. Listen, friend, there are people in our churches that are only worshipers in name only. In other words, they got their secret little God hid out in their car, or their house, or their job, or their bedroom. They live a worldly lifestyle during the week and a Christian lifestyle at the house of God. When they come to church, they sing the church's music. When they leave the church, they got the world's music. Whenever they come to church, they talk like the Christians talk. When they go to the world, they talk like the world talks. When they come to church, they dress like the Christians dress. When they go to the world, they dress like the world dresses. And I ask you a question. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. Whom will you serve? Why have the gods of this world that you worship? Why not serve the one true God in sincerity and in truth? Joshua said this. He said, "We will serve the Lord." I bet you all the little junior Joshuas, they probably thought, "Daddy means what he's saying. We're going to serve the Lord." Can I say to you, he didn't say this. He didn't say, "We might." He didn't say, "One day I'll do that, preacher." He didn't say, "When my wife serves with me." He didn't ask for someone else's opinion. He said, "We will." You know, I used to have the great privilege to be a bus captain years ago. And I worked on the bus routes. And when I was involved in the church, as far as, you know, before I surrendered to preach, after I surrendered to preach, assistant pastor or whatever, I was in the bus ministry. And I remember so many times, preacher, going knocking on doors and trying to get people to come to church, trying to get them to let their kids go to church. And I remember so many times, here's what parents would say to me. They'd say, "Well, you know what? If he or she wants to go, they can go. I don't make them do things like that. I just let them choose." I wanted to grab him by the hair of the head. What do you mean? I mean, Where is the mom and daddies that say, no, here's what we're going to do. We will. See, can I say to you, he was determined. You listen, church? He was determined to not let anything get in his way. He was determined to not let anyone change his mind. Joshua, friend, whenever he made that decision, that was it. It was ended. It was concluded. It was decided. It was fixed. It was resolved. It was directed with determination. Friend, you give me a man that has determination, there's not much that can stop him. Billy Sunday was determined to fight liquor and see as many people saved as possible, and he did it. Moody was determined to start a young man's Christian association and do what he could do for God, and he did it. Charles Alexander was determined to be the best song leader that he could be and get as many people as possible to read a chapter a day in the New Testament known as the Pocket Testament League, and he did it. Can I say to you why? They were determined. What are you determined to do as a Christian? Let me ask you this question. Are we determined to come to church only every now and then? I mean, we're Christians, right? We're saved, right? Are we determined to not heed God's word and live life to the fullness of the flesh through the worldliness and the lust and enjoy the sin to its fullest height? Are we determined to worship God in name only and have that outward adorning of false beauty, yet on the inside it's like ravening wolves? Are we determined to never mention the name of Jesus to anybody, that their soul may be saved from a torturous place called hell? Are we determined to die living a life of determination to never do anything for the one true God? What are we determined to do? Are you with me? Are we determined to come to church every time the doors are open, obey and heed God's word? Are we determined to live life to the fullness of the Spirit and abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good? Are we one of those parents that are determined to tell others of Christ and what He did for the world? Are we determined to get involved in the house of God and serve Him until the day we die? Are we determined to take a ministry and build it for the glory of God? What are we determined to do? Let me ask you young people something. I don't know how many. Let me just do this. All the teenagers, stand up. All the way up to 19 years old. Would you stand up for me? Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. What are you determined to do for God? Well, preacher, I ain't thought much about it. You should be thinking about it. You know when I made my mind up that I was going to do something for God? Are you hearing me? You know when I made it up, fellas? 19 years old. How many 19-year-olds we got in here? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 19. 19 years old, made my mind up. I'm serving the Lord. That's it. I made my mind up. You know what that was? Determination. I didn't get saved until I was 19. That's why. If I'd have got saved at 16 or 17 or 18, I'd have probably made it up then. But there came a time in my life I had to make my mind up. I mean, I was wanting to go fly planes. I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Probably would have never made it. You got to be smart. I ain't got it. But I still wanted to do it. And it was in my heart to do it. And then I got saved. Hallelujah. And after I got saved, the Spirit of God began to deal with me about preaching. And I had to make my mind up. I had to make my mind up come hell or high water. Either I was going to serve the Lord, preach, or I was just going to go do whatever I wanted to do. What are you determined to do? You can sit down. Thank you. Listen, I don't want no pats on the back. I give God all the glory. But without determination, you'll never have the right kind of family you're supposed to have. Never. I got to be careful. I don't want you to think anything. Let me say to you, don't you think the devil comes to me, tries to get me to allow stuff into my house? Come to me and say, you know what? It's not fair that your kids don't get to have this and everybody else does. You know, it's not right that, you know, is it really that bad? Is it really that bad that you can't do this or you can't have that? And it's constant. Constant. It's an everyday fight. It's an everyday battle. Constant. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to wiggle his way in. He wants to get just a little bit. Listen, he ain't gonna start with the monster screen TV in the house. showing nakedness and everybody sitting there watching. That's not how it starts. That's not how it starts. It starts small. And devil is doing his dead level best. He fights this preacher and my family constantly. And you know the only thing that helps us, no doubt, is the God of heaven and the help of the Holy Ghost. But can I say to you, it comes with fighting and with determination. You got to be determined, friend, that you're not going to let it in. I ask you a question. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord to be used to save his whole family? Determination. Why was Job able to go through such suffering and never quit on God? Determination. Why is Abraham the hero of faith and friend of God? Determination. Why did Moses speak face to face to God and be the greatest leader of all time? Determination. Why was David the shepherd boy the greatest warrior and king of all time? Determination. Why is the Apostle Paul the greatest soul winner of all time? Determination. Why was Peter the bold preacher and the powerhouse for God? He was determination, friend. Every one of these men was determined to please their God and serve the God of heaven. And Joshua said this, "As for me and my house, we will." Let me ask you a question, Mom and Daddy. What are you determined to do? Let me give you the third one. I'm done. Joshua made a declaration. Joshua had determination. And Joshua showed a demonstration. He said this. He said, "As for me and my house, we will," here it is, three words, "serve the Lord." You know, he didn't just talk about it. He didn't act like it. He actually demonstrated it by serving the Lord. You know, many times when someone makes a statement of that nature, sometimes it's more talk than it is walk. But Joshua declared, what he declared, he demonstrated. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible said in James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In other words, hear me, church. We're very thankful you're here today. It'd be hard to preach to an empty room. I'm glad people come to the house of God. But can I say to you, many people come and they hear, but they don't do. Joshua said in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." To serve in sincerity means that we are not to serve hypocritically. But we should serve from the heart. Then our service will not be that outward appearance. In other words, if we serve the Lord, we don't serve Him so somebody will recognize us. We serve Him because it's in our heart. It's a sincere thing in our heart. To serve in truth means that we will serve honestly. If you say that you will serve the Lord, do it. If you say you'll quit something, quit it. Spurgeon said this, the old preacher of the past. He said, "Does not Joshua's outspoken avowal make you blush?" He said, "You are a spouse to Christ, you say, but will there never be an open marriage?" Listen to what he said. "Will you never take Him publicly before the eyes of men to be your Lord and husband forever and ever? Does Jesus agree to secret marriages? Shall your captain's colors never adorn you?" That is a questionable decision which dares not own itself to be on the Lord's side. In other words, let me say it this way, put it on plain hillbilly language. If you say you're saved, does anybody know it? You say you're a Christian, is it a secret? Do you ever demonstrate that you're a Christian? What area of service are you demonstrating your Christianity? Joshua showed his demonstration by saying this, "The golden calf's not for me." Joshua showed a demonstration by saying, "The gods of the Amorites is not the God that I will serve." Joshua showed a demonstration by hating the way the crowd goes, hating the customs of that world, hating the temptations and trials of the flesh, hating the world's idols or devils. He showed a demonstration by saying this, "Hey, the sins of the world are not for me." You know what the Bible said in Romans 12:9? "Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." You know what that word "abhor" means? Hate. Oh, we're Christians. We're not supposed to use that word, hate. You know, well, the Bible says abhor that which is evil. That means you're supposed to hate it. And can I say to you, I believe with all my heart that Joshua showed a demonstration not with a bad spirit, not with a bad attitude, but with the right kind of spirit of hating the way the world was going, hating the sins and the false doctrine and the false idols of the world. And Joshua said, no, we ain't doing that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I say to you, church, we ought to show our demonstration by hating the sins of this world. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we could go to the awful sins of liquor and beer and cigarettes and fornication and adultery and sodomy and drugs and covetousness and worldly gods and discord sowing and sex appeal in our dress standards. There's a whole bunch of filthy things that we could say that many people probably are not even involved in. But what about all the other things of the world that we pull in? That pull us away from God. Keep our homes all in knots. So many people know too much about other people. They know more about what so-and-so's done all day long. And everybody knows everything about what they've done all day long. But they don't know anything about God and hadn't thought about Him all day long. Joshua demonstrated what he believed. And here's how he did it. He served the Lord. Friend, I don't have time to know what everybody else is doing. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful, mean way, but I really don't care. I got 6 children that keep me busy and a wife. And there's a dog out there in that truck too. And there's enough to keep me busy right there. Not to mention reading that Bible. Not to mention spending time in prayer. I don't want to be busy with the world. I want to serve the Lord. You know what I miss? I miss being in the local church involved in ministries. I miss that. As an evangelist, you don't get that. You go to a church, you preach, you try to be a blessing to the preacher and the people, try to encourage them. I miss the bus routes. I miss trying to help people and watching them grow, building the church. Let's just say there's 200 in here tonight. Do you realize if 200 people serve the Lord wholeheartedly, you don't have enough room for this for people. If 200 people, preacher, one person in 2016, one. There'd be 400 in here. One. If 400 in 2017 won one person, you got them in the church, one. You go win one person, you get them baptized, you help them get grounded. One. If 400 people won one, there's 800. You don't have enough room. You don't have enough room for this church to grow in 2 or 3 years with everybody winning one. Let me ask you a question. How are you serving the Lord? I'm not trying to be rude. I just want you to think. It is so easy for us as Christians to come and sit in a pew. Get up and go. Go about our life. We have to be busy out there. We have to work. There's things we have to do. But what are you doing to demonstrate your Christianity? Young people, are you serving the Lord? Here's what the Bible said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Exodus 32:26. I'm done, but listen. Moses said this. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You know what Moses, you know what he was saying? He was saying, we want to know who you are. We want to know who's on the Lord's side. And I wonder how many here tonight are really and truly on the Lord's side. I wonder how many tonight could no doubt mom and daddy, young people, teenagers, no doubt, friend, could say in their heart, that's it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. until the day that we die. Joshua made a declaration. He had determination. And he showed a demonstration. And he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I ask you a question. What about you? Let's all stand. If somebody come to the piano, preacher. Father in heaven, we sure love you. Thank you for all you've done. And I pray that God, you take the message, be a help, a challenge to your people. We sure thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the great honor and the great privilege of serving my King. Lord, we love you and praise you. And I pray we'd be faithful to you, Lord, until you're coming. Lord, I'm looking for the day that you come. God, I pray that you find us faithful. May many other families, Lord, here be faithful to the God of heaven, I pray. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, as they begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, would you find a place at the altar, preacher?
Good, solid message. Good message. We have a lot of young couples here. A lot of young couples with a lot of little children. And I promise you, what he said is true. You're going to have determination. It's pretty simple to make a declaration. But it takes strong determination to carry that declaration through. And, you know, observation, when your teenagers will test you. They will test you. They will bump the boundaries. And you have to be strong enough. They're looking at the temporary. Here's the question. When I have seen teenagers move their parents end up in my office, and this is the question. What's wrong with? What's wrong with? What's wrong with? But they've moved. And the reason they moved is because their kids moved them. And if dad wants to take a stand, he has to have a wife that will back him up. Not undercutting. So, they're going to test you. They're going to bump the boundaries. They're going to do that. That does not mean they're bad kids. It's just part of child rearing. And children need a parent at every stage in life. They need parents when they're little. They need parents when they're teenagers. They don't need to become the parent. When they're a teenager, they need a parent to say no. They're only looking at the temporary. God, help us to see the long term. When you start allowing things, you have to look at the direction and the end result and where that's going to lead. And it takes determination. Now, and it takes the Spirit of God. Because I don't care how much human effort you put into it. If God's not in it, it's not going to work. So that's a great message tonight. We need strong families. We need strong families. Our nation needs strong families. As the church does as well. Thank you, Brother Kendrick. Tremendous.